You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Judges. Judges chapter 6 is where we're going to start. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on peace. On peace.
Hey, did you plan that?
Oh no.
Look at that. She's just walking. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. So we're going to read a little record here. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly what? Impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." All right, so verse 1 starts off with why this is all happening. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, right? They walked away from God. And so for these 7 years, the Midianites were scattering them about, causing them to go into hiding. And every time they tried to do anything in terms of, you know, working the land or raising cattle and crops, these men would come in and destroy it, to the point where Israel was greatly, not just kind of, but greatly impoverished. And so they cried unto the Lord. They cried to God. Verse 7, "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not, what? Obeyed my voice." That's right. They stopped listening. God did all of these things for them. He's reminding them, remember, I brought you up out of the land. I gave you this land. Told you not to fear. You had everything you needed. But you have not obeyed my voice. So that was his response. They cried out. God sent a prophet. And the prophet said to all the people, well, you didn't listen to me. Verse 11, a new event. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Oprah Winfrey's house." It was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Right? Normally you would thresh wheat up on a hill where everyone could see you, and the wind would blow it away. That's why it was up on a hill. But because of the Midianites, he was threshing wheat by the wine press. It was a little harder to do it there. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And this is what Judges is kind of all about. Like, if you read Judges, it's Israel walks away from God. They screw up. They get in a really bad spot. They cry out to God. And God, you know, works up a man of God or a woman of God, a judge, to save them. And then things are good for a little bit, and then they repeat the cycle over and over again. They walk away from God, things get really bad, raise up another judge. So in this case, it's Gideon's turn. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Why is all this bad stuff happening? If the Lord's here with us, how come things are so bad? Right? And that's the same kind of questions that people ask today. Well, if God is real, how come bad stuff happens? Right? How come bad things happen? If God is here. And the Lord looked upon him and said, I'm not going to answer any of that. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? How am I going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor or least in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. My family's the least in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. What am I going to do? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, all right, I'll wait. I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. And he said, well, I just made this and you want me to pour it out? He said, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So he asked for a sign. He brings all this food. And then fire just appears out of the rock and burns it all up. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which is God, for the Lord, our peace, right? It's one of the seven redemptive names of God. And it means God, or the Lord, our peace, right? And that means that God is the source of peace, right? There cannot be true peace without God, because God is the source of it, right? The Lord, our peace. Where peace comes from God is one of the interpretations for that name, right? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Go to chapter 8, verse 28. Chapter 8, verse 28. So God keeps his promise. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness. And that's that same word for peace. 40 years in the days of Gideon, right? And peace isn't just a lack of strife or like there's no war going on, right? In the word, peace is a complete soundness. It's a complete and total soundness, including the welfare of a person, their health, their prosperity, absence of strife, both mental and physical. Right? It's a complete soundness, a complete wholeness. That is peace the way that God intended it. It's also can be interpreted as a state of undisturbed believing, an undisturbed presence with God, that there's nothing going on that would disturb your presence and relationship with the Father. That's what peace is in godly terms, right? And Israel did not have any of that. Right? They didn't have any of that. They were greatly impoverished, right? But God intervened so that they could have peace, right? So that they could have a quiet, a tranquil, untroubled existence with God, right? And it's an absence of fear, an absence of dread, right? And God is the one who brings that, and he can bring it to an individual. He can bring it to a household, and in this case, he can bring it into an entire nation or country, right? Because it's God who brings peace. Go to 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15. But that peace comes from God. He is the source of it. And he wants his kids and his people to live in peace, to have that tranquility, to have that quietness in their lives, where they're not troubled by stuff. That's God's will for our lives. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Right? And that's that idiom of permission. It's to let go. Right? God doesn't forsake them, but they walk away from God. Right? There's nothing he can do for them if they walk away from him. Right? But it does say, "The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you." And that word seek is to visit frequently. It's not just the word like hide and seek to find somebody. It means to visit frequently or to tread a path. Right? To constantly go back to. Right? So God is saying, if you seek him, if you're constantly going back to God, if you're constantly going to him, if you're treading a path to him, if you visit frequently, if he is the one you look to all of the time, right, you'll find him. He'll be there. It's constantly going back to God and always asking of him. Right? And the word forsake means to let go or to not hold fast. Right, in opposition to that. If you let go of God or you don't hold fast to him, right, then that's when, you know, you step on the hose, as it were. Right? God won't be able to help you because you let him go. You went away. And that's what Israel did. They were constantly getting into trouble because they were looking elsewhere. Right? Because they were looking elsewhere. Right? They stopped seeking God. They stopped treading a path to him, and they started looking elsewhere. Right? But God constantly delivered them because that's who he is. Verse 3, "Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, tread a path to him, He was found of them. And in those times, referring to the times they walked away from him, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Right? During those times, there was no peace to be found because they had left the source of it. Right? They had walked away from the source of it. God is the source of peace. And they were not looking for it. Right? And so they had the alternative. Great vexations. Verse 12. So, this prophet comes out, kind of reproves them, tells them where they're screwing up. And in verse 12 it says, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." So they changed their minds. They said, "We've been screwing up." But they entered into a covenant, an agreement. All of the people entered into an agreement to seek God, to tread a path to him again, to constantly go to him. "That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman." They were taking it seriously. "And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest," or peace, "round about." Right? Where God is able to work, there is peace. Again, whether it's an individual, a whole nation, God is the one who brings rest in its completeness. Right? Where he's able to work, there is great peace. And it's a completeness of peace. Go to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. This is Jesus Christ teaching in Matthew 11, 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what?
Rest.
"Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why? Because he always did the will of who?
God.
God. So if they came and did what he did, they would be treading their path to God too, right? They would be developing their relationship with the Father. They would be seeking God just like Jesus Christ did. And the result of that is rest, right? They would find rest. They would find peace, right? It's a ceasing or a desisting. Right? That's what rest is, to cause to cease or desist, to refresh, and to keep still and quiet on the inside. Right? That's what Jesus Christ was saying. You know, if you follow in my footsteps, if you do like I do, that's what you'll find, is rest. Go to Romans 15, verse 33. And we know that, you know, Jesus Christ's life was hardly one of relaxation, right? It was hardly one of just kicking back and chilling. But it was a life full of great peace, right? He was still quiet on the inside. He wasn't troubled. He wasn't, you know, all tangled up in his brain about all the different things he had to do and all the devil spirits he had to cast out and all the people he still had to teach. Right? Because he went to God every day. He made time to pray. He always sought answers from God. And so the amount of work that he had to put in was never, you know, a burden to him. It was never anything that was too much for him because he had the peace and he had the rest that only comes from God. right? And sometimes we think like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do and all these responsibilities to do, right? And God's designed it so that we can take on whatever it is as long as we keep him first, and we'll have peace and rest while we do it. Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And this is just to show that in our administration, he remains the God of peace, right? And because we are his kids, he's always there for us, right? He's always there for us. The God of peace be with all of us, with all of us. And even though it says amen, that's not the end of Romans. Go to chapter 16, verse 20. Next chapter, verse 20. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Okay, it's not the end, but amen. But it says that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So not only is he going to bring you peace, he's going to fight for you. He's going to kick some butt. And shortly means quickly, right? The God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your feet quickly. He's going to fight for you. He's got your back. There's rest and peace in knowing that God will fight for you, that God will tackle it for you, right? The God of peace, right? It's kind of funny when you think about the juxtaposition, right? The God of peace is going to beat the crap out of the adversary, right? It sounds real peaceful, right? But that's what it is, right? When God beats up the adversary, it's to bring you peace, right? It's to have your back and to fight for you so that you can be at rest, right? And he's going to do it quickly. He's going to come to your aid quickly, right? And those situations and battles that come up in this world because the adversary is a jerk, right? God is right there with you, and he's the God of peace. He'll come to your rescue. He'll come to your aid. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Because that's who he is. He is the God of peace. Peace originates with him. There is no peace without God. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your reasonableness, your moderation, your reasonableness, your ability to let the small stuff go. That's what moderation is. Be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God is right there. Right? Let your reasonableness be made known unto all. God sees it. He's right there. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? We don't have to be anxious or fearful or worried about anything. But rather it says in everything. Right? And again, these are absolutes. There's nothing that we should be anxious or worried or fearful about. And everything, right, we should give to God, right? So if there's something that you're not throwing up to God or not having him take care of, well, then you're also defeating the first thing where you're not being careful for nothing, right? There's something you are being worried about. So God makes it so that you can be anxious or worried about nothing at all because everything is being given to him. And the peace of God, when you do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep and guard your hearts and minds, right? That peace, that wonderful peace of God that's bigger than we can even comprehend. Remember I talked earlier about how it's a complete soundness. It's so big, you know, we can't really understand it all, right? It's not just this absence of strife or nobody's mad at me right now. It's a true soundness, That's going to guard your hearts and minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Things you've learned and received and heard and then seen me do, you do too. And the God of peace shall be with you, right? He'll be right there with you, right? So God's made it available through his great love and his grace and his mercy for us to just throw all this stuff to him, right? And he'll be the one to guard it, our hearts. He'll be the one to take care of us, right? He's the one who gives us rest. Go to Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Right? And the word rule means to determine, to direct, to control, or to act as an umpire. That's a fun one. Right? To act as an umpire, to determine, to direct, or to control. Right? So let the peace of God direct, or determine, or act as an umpire in your hearts. Right? The peace of God should rule. It should direct your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Right? We can let that peace of God rule to kind of take precedence in our lives. That the peace of God is bigger than everything else, because we're giving the rest of it to him. The one who fights for us. The one who bruises Satan on our behalf. Right? We're giving that stuff to God so that we can have rest. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23. It says, and the very God, the word very there means like God himself, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Right? The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? God's the one who keeps us. He guards us. He sets us apart. Right? From all the chaos and everything in the world and all the junk, he takes you and sets you apart. Right? He sets you aside from all of that. Right? So that you don't have to be a part of it. So that you can be free from it. So that it doesn't have to have any effect on your life. Right? That's the very God. The God of peace himself is going to pluck you up and set you over there. So that you're all taken care of. We'll close in Hebrews 13. Right? So, God is the source of peace. Right? Without God, there is no real peace. And it's so freely available to us as his kids, right? He's with us all the time, right? We just get back in fellowship with God and he takes care of it. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do whatever the heck you want. Yeah. Now, it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? So the God of peace is the one who makes us that way, perfect and peaceful, so that we can do his word, so that we can do the things that are well-pleasing to God. Right? Because when we are all at rest in our hearts and minds, we're able to serve God and his people, you know, to our fullest, to our greatest potential. If we're all worked up or caught up in other things, or we've got other stuff messing around in our brains and we're not peaceful about something, that only serves to impair our ability to carry out God's word. So of course he wants us to be in a place where we have peace, where we can be our best for him, right? That's what God promises to do, right? He promises to take care of us in every facet of life so that we're able to be our best for him.